pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Ozark, Missouri, as well as to be the biblical department chair, biblical counseling department chair at the Baptist Bible Graduate School in Springfield, Missouri. Tonight we're talking about Ecclesiastes, God's sovereignty in the midst of life. Let's pray to get started. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your word. What a joy to be able to think through life out of your word and through your word, and with the complexities and sometimes the things that seem so inconsistent, yet your word helps us make sense out of very complicated matters. Lord, I pray now that you would be honored as we look to your good man Solomon for understanding of how to live life in your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon is the author of this particular book, and the theme is life is frustratingly enigmatic without God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? It's the word for vanity that you're familiar with, many of you. Ecclesiastes 1:2 says, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." In chapter 12, verse 8, also says, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "all is vanity." It's on either end of the book, and it creates kind of bookends. Some people would hello. Does anybody know Dwayne? Maybe my battery's low. Do you know that? Do you know the? Can you go to him and get this fixed? Oh, it has. Well, we will trust the sovereign God. Move on. We're talking. The word in the text is the word vanity. Depending on which translation in English you have, it's translated many different ways. The way I want you to consider it is the notion that life is enigmatic or it's mysterious. There are many unanswered and unanswerable questions in life. You might call it life is full of anomalies. Many things are paradoxical or seemingly incongruent. Let me give you just a few examples. Why do bad things happen to good people? We read in the Proverbs, it says if we live a certain way that we should expect to be blessed, but yet all of us know people who have lived a godly life and yet they have struggles. Or young people who have prayed for years to have a baby and only after years of struggle to have a baby, the baby is born and dies all on the same day. Or two girls sitting with their blinker on to turn into their church to go to Sunday morning service, and somebody's blinded by the sun, and when they come over the hill and they hit those girls head on and kill both of them as they turn to go to church. Or a pastor's son who dies in a car accident on his way to a youth event. Or a young wife who finds out her husband's been having an affair for months and she's expecting their first baby. Or a staff member in a church who sins against a girl in the youth department. Right? You think of that and you try to unravel what God's doing in those circumstances, and you come to the conclusion, like Solomon, that all is vanity or it's an enigmatic. We can't get our brain around it. It's hard for us to wrap our arms around the concepts and pull them apart. In chapter 12, and if I trust you have your Bible, we'll look at it a lot. In chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, I have it in your notes, Solomon gives us the conclusion to the matter. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Basically, Solomon concludes it by saying, every believer is to trust God and carefully obey God. As you move through life, and you move through life with these events and circumstances that come in and out of life, and you can't quite piece it together, something's missing. God says through Solomon that the goal is that as we move in and out of those ups and downs and ins and outs, that we carefully trust and carefully obey God. For the counselor, it's imperative to understand Ecclesiastes because it provides the ability to understand what God is up to in the lives of your counselees as well as your own life. I would suggest to you that Ecclesiastes is one of just a handful of books that if you can figure it out, you're going to be able to counsel almost anybody. It's a fantastic book in relationship to God's sovereignty. Well, let's try to work through as many passages as we can this evening in our time together. On page 2, number 1, it says, "You only find purpose in your life as you honor God in it." You only find purpose in your life as you honor God in it. Solomon pursues finding meaning. And we see this pursuit in chapters 1 and 2. Basically, how do you understand the world around you? That's what Solomon's trying to figure out. And in verse 3, he says, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Or what gain does a person have? You work so hard, and sometimes when life is finished, you have absolutely nothing to show for it." As we look through the first several verses, let's jump to verse 13. It says, or 12, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that's done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised." He's saying it's a task that God's given us. This recognition, this quest that we have of asking questions why and what, God builds that into us. When somebody goes through hard circumstances and they say, "Why, God, is this happening?" we shouldn't scratch our head and think that seems weird. No, it's part of the task that God's burdened us with. It's something that every man is exercised with, according to the New King James, a good translation for that word. So we have this quest, but in verses 14 and 15, we realize that the quest to know just lends us to the conclusion that it's all frustrating. "I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity or frustratingly enigmatic and grasping for the wind." It's a unique concept, grasping for the wind. If we were to go outside tonight and we were to say, "You know, we're supposed to be having a conference here, and it'd be nice if this snow would go somewhere else, and it'd be better to go to eat and come back on time, and the lines are long, and we just need somebody to go outside and change the wind so that the snow goes somewhere else." Right? And if I sent, "Okay, let's just send you out to go do that," and we sent you out the back door, you're going to be pretty frustrated after a few minutes if you try to take your hands and change the wind current. Right? It can't happen. It's impossible for us to use our hands and do anything with the wind current in terms of changing it. Well, that's what Solomon's talking about. It's that frustrating to try to piece together life. It's like grasping after the wind. It's impossible to control it with your hands. In fact, look at verse 15. It says, "What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered." Basically, you might say it this way: what God has bent, it's impossible for mankind to straighten back out. If I were to ask you how many cars are in the parking lot, and the person who gets it right can leave tonight, all the rest of us have to stay here until we figure out how many cars are in the parking lot. You're going to say, "Kevin, that's an unfair question, because how can we know how many cars are in the parking lot if we can't see them?" That's what he's saying in verse 15. What's not there, you can't count. And as mankind, we don't have the details that the sovereign God has. And as we go through life, what we can't see, which is all the plan of God, that's His secret plan, we can't count. Therefore, we'll never get the right answer. No matter how good of an accountant you are, or how good of you are with numbers, and you might be the most spiritual person that's ever lived, but even if that's the case, you can't count it if you can't see it. And Solomon says, in a sovereign God's world, there are too many things that are missing for you to be able to make sense of it. Impossible to put it all in a row. So it's frustratingly enigmatic in verse 15. Now we move through chapter 2. We're going to fly over.